Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Diane Hite, an author, photographer, and former school teacher. She taught in California for many years before embarking on a new adventure, teaching at an international school in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. A Mongolian memoir shares her fascinating story. Welcome to the show, Diane.
Oh, it's so good to be here, Hannah.
It's great to have you. It's great to have you with us. I've been looking forward to chatting with you. This sounds like a really interesting story. I mean, what made you decide to go to Mongolia?
Well, I always say, I'll kind of start off with this. I always say that Mongolia chose me. I was at a crossroads in my life. I was about 63, 64. Going through a divorce, retired, but all of a sudden I needed income. So I met with a great person, a friend of mine. We put together my resume and he looked at me and he said, "What have you always wanted to do?" And it was like he put the key in the lock and turned the key. And I said, "Wow, I've always wanted to live and work in another country." And I've done a lot of traveling anyway, and I'm kind of an adventurer spirit type person. So this was right up my alley. And short story, all of a sudden, this recruiter called me and I got a job in Mongolia. And I knew there would be challenges, and they knew there was going to be challenges with me because it's very cold in Mongolia. Ulaanbaatar is the coldest capital in the world. And that's winter that I was there was the coldest winter in 30 years. And I always say, "Oh my God, why me?" But minus 40, minus 30, minus 20, that would be, I know. So, and I almost didn't make it that first year. My principal, who I love dearly, said, "Go home at Easter break, spring break, and take a week or so." And that's what I did to kind of touch down, because I'm from Southern California, to see the ocean. Went back to Mongolia and absolutely found my love. I mean, I'm going there this July, by the way. I'm so excited after 6 years.
Wonderful. It's not a kind of normal tourist destination, is it? So I expect most people listening are thinking, "Well, what's in Mongolia? What's it like?" Can you tell us?
Well, the capital, Ulaanbaatar, is really basically the only city. It's very cosmopolitan, but a lot of people come to Mongolia in the summertime, like late spring, summer, early fall, because they go to the Gobi. And the Gobi Desert is shared with China and Mongolia, and it is spectacular. It is, sand dunes, Bactrian camels, the two-hump camels that are only found in Mongolia and China. So that's why people come. It's kind of one of the last destinations of, "Gee, what should I do now?" kind of thing. The Gobi Desert. I've been there a couple times and the scenery is spectacular. The people are so incredibly warm and friendly. And of course they live in, they're called gers. They look like huts, and I think there's a Russian word for it, and right now I can't think of it. But, you know, they live off the land, and they herd sheep, they herd goats. But in the city, it's a regular cosmopolitan city like Los Angeles, London, Paris. I mean, very, very hip.
Amazing. And what about the schooling? What was the school like that you worked in compared to that of California?
Oh gosh, I don't. I had a great experience in California, but I had, I think, even a greater experience in Mongolia. I had no idea there were so many international schools around the world. And, you know, people want their children to learn English. It has nothing to do with being from the UK or from being from America or Canada. It's just they want their children to be exposed to English and the lifestyle. So I taught the first 2 years, I taught first grade, and then I came home for a couple of years, and then I went back for 3 years, and I taught second graders, so, you know, around 6 and 7 years old. I taught all subjects. The schools are just like the schools here, and the parents loved us and really supported us, which I found refreshing.
So why did you feel like it was such a rewarding experience for you? What did you learn about yourself being in Mongolia?
Well, I learned to go at a slower pace. I wrote the book not just for me or for family and friends, but, you know, I'm the baby boomer generation. And I think we're the first generation after our parents that have had the opportunity to do something in the third act. Which is after 60. And I'm not knocking retirement and sitting in a rocking chair or whatever, but there's so much out there. And you don't need to go to Mongolia, but just find what makes you happy. And age should not be a factor. I mean, I think if Mongolia wanted me tomorrow, I would probably go. And I'm right now, I'm 77 years old. So... Yeah, and you probably have talked to many people who are in their 60s, 70s, 80s that are still, you know, working and they want to. Mm-hmm. And so really, I wrote the book for not just for women, but probably geared more towards women that don't stop. You know, life is exciting and there is no age limit to having a great time.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. And since your time in Mongolia, you went on to teach in India, Cambodia, and Italy.
Yes, I went in Indonesia. I taught for a while, and same in Italy. And I actually, just 2 years ago, I think it was, 2 years ago, I was in Cambodia, but I was there, unfortunately, in the middle of COVID. And I had gotten the job before COVID, right before COVID, and then that hit. And I still ended up going, and that is a whole other story about how I got into the country, what I had to go through to really stay there. And I love Cambodia, and but I had to return because of COVID. So
okay, so you weren't stuck there because of COVID, then you weren't in lockdown there.
Not really, but things were heading that way and, you know, not sure I could get back into the U.S. I had a little bit of a problem actually at the airport. So, I just kind of saw the handwriting on the wall. And so I thought, you know, it's time for me to come home. So, and then I spent almost a year in Kauai, on one of the Hawaiian islands. And that's actually where I started seriously putting together my Mongolian memoir. And then I'm back in Southern California, and that's when I kind of wrapped everything up. But, you know, I'm always looking for the next adventure. You know, my family and friends are just waiting to hear, you know, what airplane is she on now?
Oh, that's really wonderful and inspirational as well. You know, as long as you have your health, age doesn't matter, does it?
And you hit the key right there. As long as you have your health, age doesn't matter. And I think that's, again, being of the baby boomers, I think, you know, people need to hear that. I needed to hear it. And, you know, the other thing that I like about some of these countries, including Kauai, which is part of America, is the slower pace of life. And you know, I like that. I like that. You know, it gets, in my opinion, for me, it gets kind of crazy around here in America, in Southern California. And anyway.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And I also want to commend you and kind of point out that you did all of this after you went through a divorce. And to go through something like that, you know, in your 60s, 70s, going through a divorce or even becoming widowed, which obviously can happen, it can be a really traumatic time, understandably so, for people. So for you to be able to, you know, pick yourself up, dust yourself off and start this incredible new life is really wonderful.
And I don't want to make it sound like, oh, well, she can do anything, you know, I mean, she can do anything. It was, and you're right, Hannah, it was traumatic going through this divorce. I did not think that this was going to happen to me when it happened to me. And so, you know, some of it wasn't easy, but once I got on the path, and I went, okay, I can do this. I want to do this. This is something I've always wanted to do. But, you know, again, my generation, especially women, you know, we felt like we had to do certain things. And it's so nice to see the next generations that, you know, don't necessarily feel that way. And maybe my generation paved the way.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you. We appreciate it. So what is next for you then?
Well, I don't know. I have been, I finished the book and now I've been promoting it. And I'm going to spend the whole month of July in Mongolia. So I'm open. You know, I love Southern California too. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like I don't like it. I have family and friends here. But Wanderlust is part, if you read my book, you'll see. And I have a blog called The Wandering Nomad, which is sort of the same thing. But I have Wanderlust and it's hard for me to stay in one place. And so I don't know. I'm open. I'm totally open to whatever the universe has for me.
How exciting. What a great way to be.
Thank you. Yeah, and again, it I don't want to come across like, oh, well, it's easy for her. No, it isn't always easy. And I just think that sometimes you have to get beyond yourself and go, okay, what's out there for me? What can I do? And again, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to go to the most exotic place on the planet, Mongolia. Whatever has been in your heart, you know, kind of pulling on you to do, then do it.
It's just about embracing life, isn't it? And making the most out of life and your years and your health while you have it. I mean, it's really the best way of looking at things, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I embrace life, you know, try something different. Again, it doesn't have to be Mongolia. Like I said, you know, I knew I'm a geographer, and so I know about places, and I knew about Mongolia, but to really live that harsh winter was, you could have never prepared me for that. And, you know, most of the people that worked at the school were either Canadian or from climates where it was not like Southern California. And like I said in the beginning, you know, they hired me, but they were a little concerned that, you know, how was I going to adjust to this environment, this cold? And, but I did. And I came to fall in love with it. And, you know, there was an adjustment. And I talk about how I had, you know, my rabbit fur hat. I had all the things that you wear to stay warm, except I never could get my hands warm, even with wearing two gloves, wearing mittens. And I know. And then there's always the, I talk in my book about the black ice, you know, which I had no idea what that was. And, you know, it's ice that's been there for a long time. And I mean, it's like, you can just go down, and even young people, not just my age, you know, we're falling down and breaking our ankle. And that's a one way ticket home when you do something like that. But anyway.
Well, it's a fabulous story. Well done, you. And thank you for putting it all together in a book form so we can all get inspired. It's called A Mongolian Memoir, and it's available on our website, tre.radio. It's by Diane Hight, who we've been chatting with today. Diane, thank you for joining us, and keep your adventurous spirit going.
Well, thank you, Hannah. And I love talking to you and your audience. And yeah. And again, I'll just say my book is A Mongolian Memoir, and people are really enjoying reading it. I have to say, I'm getting really great feedback. They're little vignettes about my life and tying it all together with my travels and especially Mongolia. So again, thank you, Hannah.
My pleasure. Thank you, Diane.